Hello, David. Hello, Aaron. Hello, Ian. Welcome to Business Beat. I'm Ian Barrett, Aaron Hayes, and David Ginsburg from WICN. It's another amazing week. And I just realized something very important is that Greg Glassman, CEO of CrossFit, did not watch our business ethics
Business Beat show. He skipped last week's episode.
David, and I think we'll just start this off and talk about how missing Business Beat cost him his company and his CEO position at CrossFit. David, take the ball and run with it here. I can't believe this. I cannot believe this.
You know, WICN's Business Beat is really the lifeblood of the business community at this point. If you're not tuning in every week, you're missing out on valuable insights and information. And, you know, this ugliness could have been averted had Mr. Glassman taken the half an hour last week to tune into the show. And yet now he's out of a gig and his reputation is ruined, besmirched, if you will. And we're here doing the show. And, you know, for everyone else in the business community, you better be tuning in and taking copious notes.
Yeah, with copious notes. And so the fact of the matter, so last week we called the show Ethics because we've just felt like we were at a point where you needed to pay attention about what is capitalism, what is making money, and can these things coexist? And the middle word there is ethics. I look at this, at Glassman's comments, which incidentally, what he typed in on Twitter, which was he typed in Floyd 19 as the problem. And I mean, obviously, immediately got the backlash of the world on him as he deserved immediately.
Yeah, it's completely tone deaf.
Ridiculous, insensitive, stupid, basic.
That's just someone who
myopic.
Drinks their own Kool-Aid.
Right.
I mean, you know, we can use a bunch of different words to describe it. He drinks his own Kool-Aid. He very clearly doesn't get a lot of feedback because he's a person who's used to being in charge. And so he thinks that is a really funny play on a terrible situation.
I don't think he thinks it's funny. I think what happens is you get people in this position and they think that they're actually smarter than all of you. I created this company from a garage in California when I was a gymnast. Now I have this international organization.
It's a massive
arrogance. I know more than you do. And that's exactly the arrogance that got put across in this tweet. And the effect was immediate, like a bullet hitting a wall and going right back at the guy who shot it. And he got completely plowed over. He immediately lost his Reebok deal and he immediately lost franchises. Within minutes of that tweet.
And there's a ripple effect in that, aside from the arrogance, if you want to say something like that, I mean, text your buddies that you have those typical stupid conversations with privately. Don't tweet. It's tone deaf, and it's the institutional arrogance of, I'm in charge, I created this thing, I'm untouchable. But the spillover effect is that he's franchised CrossFit gyms across the world, really. And because of his actions, he's out of a job. But the spillover effect is those gyms that are owned by independent franchisees that are making a living, and they're probably doing okay, but they're probably not making a fortune, are now going to have to fight the blowback as well. They're going to affect their local franchise, even though that local owner had no responsibility for what Mr. Glassman said.
And in some ways, this could be good for these gyms to get out from underneath what is...
And there were several that announced that they would just be changing their names in the original article before Mr. Glassman stepped down from CEO.
Now, if that tweet wasn't enough, and if that losing the Reebok deal wasn't enough, and if losing the franchises wasn't enough, I'd like to go one step further with it, which was when he was on his Zoom call with his franchise network and the people in his office, he said, I don't care about this situation. I don't care about him. We're not going to memorialize him like it's the white thing to do. He said this on a Zoom call to his senior staff on a Zoom call. Wow, this is so far beyond just being arrogant. That is just institutional ridiculousness. And on top of that, you have to realize that, you know what, maybe your CEOs need to be made out of better things than that. Maybe having the great idea and being innovative isn't what makes a CEO. Maybe corporate governance, maybe ethics, maybe some of these things need to be part of who runs a company, because it's again and again, Travis from Uber, freaking Zuckerberg, freaking, you know,
Musk.
Like one after the other, because I have a great idea, I get to tell you everything. Let me tell you something else. Henry Ford was an institutional racist. Right?
More than that, he was a Nazi sympathizer.
Edison was an institutional racist.
Hitler had a picture of Henry Ford on his desk in his office.
So let's just talk about this. Like, having a great idea, having the company, executing the company does not make you a good person. And FYI, when you allow somebody with this ridiculousness to open their mouth and share this opinion with other people, it can all go away. And this is justice for just humanity when this kind of backlash happens. His apology was trite.
It was ridiculous. It was insane. I CrossFit's the answer to chronic disease, and I can't let my behavior, get in the way of that. How about, I'm sorry, I now realize I'm racist. I will be taking steps to uneducate myself and to educate others. Yeah. I will be giving this money towards all Black Lives Matter. But no, he can't do that because that would be too much.
Yeah, we'll call the show The Receipts because this is just the top of our very lovely CVS receipt list that we're going to go through today, because this was the reckoning this week. Go ahead, David.
Part of it is, a leader in any capacity, you have to be able to read the room, and you can't let your own myopic arrogance get in the way of that. And Glassman clearly was not reading the room at all, and thought that his senior leadership would feel the same way he does. To do it in a Zoom call, it's idiotic, number one. And it's the arrogance of a man that's just so blinded by his own success that he can't see the reality of what's happening around him. And that's reading the room at large, which is what's happening across the country. Number two, in part because of our social media age and everyone has a camera and everyone can become a citizen journalist by flipping the camera, video camera on your phone, there is a level of accountability now for corporations and businesses that has never existed before in our lifetimes. And the things they used to be able to sweep under the rug, they can't. And they're being called out. Axios has been writing about this all week. Huffington Post has had a number of pieces about this. That it's one thing to, you want to show your solidarity through your social media feeds and your press releases, great. But if you're not backing it up in action, if the way you behave corporately is still sponsoring and making donations to Congress members that have an F rating for the NAACP, if you're sponsoring shows like Tucker Carlson, who is a white nationalist, and if you want to debate me on this, anybody that's watching this, by all means, I'm open to having that debate with you.
Sean Hannity wears a Punisher skull on his lapel every single day when he does his show. What are you saying when you do that? Well, let's mention your Axios article. Let's go through the Axios article that you shared with us. Let's start with Adam Rappaport at Bon Appetit, right? Blackface.
Yeah, and not like 25 years in college, like 5 years ago.
Right. So the one picture shows up and he said it was one picture at a party. And then what, 3 days later, now we're hearing about, No, it's not one picture at a party. It's everything that they've been doing at that company from the top down is tainted, because you let this guy run this thing and you don't stop the problem when it's a problem. You don't nip it in the bud. And so Bon Appetit, which incidentally was having a great year up until this point, completely plowed over by this. And now the stories are rolling in, because now that the guy's on his way out the door, people who were powerless to do something or have said something before and were swept under the rug or issues that weren't dealt with are now coming out, and they're just destroying this company. If you cannot be corporately responsible and if you cannot have ethics, you will lose everything that you have.
That's right. Refinery 29, a woman of color who was hired as a writer there was, kind of given the mean girls treatment for a long time and really demeaning assignments. And she quit and left and wrote. She finally kind of broke down and revealed the truth about what working there was like. And there's a huge fallout coming from there, too. There is a rapid amount of accountability coming forward as people tell their truth and share their experiences. And the companies have to come back and take stock and realize, as we were saying a minute ago, it's not just about putting out public statements and trying to show your solidarity. It's taking meaningful action to correct the issues that you've had internally for a long time. It means having a board that's more than just 10 old white guys. You have to have some diversity in your corporate leadership. The millennials and the Gen Zs, they're coming into the workforce, are demanding change. They're demanding to see a workplace that looks like them, that fits their value system.
In my own little circle, Refinery 29, it's the middle class, a little bit higher than that, white woman who loves Refinery 29. And to find out that this woman of color, this writer, was making 15 grand less. I mean, by the way, writers make nothing. It's part of the reason why I got into production, if we're going to be honest. So to make 15 grand as a writer less than the white people that are writing, I mean, I can't even imagine what she was making. How is that even fair? 15 grand it's not 3,500, it's not 5,000, it's not that your bonuses didn't match, it's 15 grand less. And so, I mean, the fallout there is immense, because as you said, millennials do care where their monies go. I mean, for that matter, Gen Xers do too. It's just that millennials are the ones who are coming up with the money now. And they, so many people have walked away. I mean, this is my bubble, but my bubble can't be the the only bubble that's like this. We don't want to spend our money.
Let's move forward. Okay, so let's begin to stay on the writing. This is one that I've had a problem with for a long time, and this is the week. Once again, ethics. The New York Times, which was the masthead of education, the masthead of research, the masthead of
the paper finding, of record.
Right. And what have they been doing? It's one op-ed after another op-ed where people are like, what are you doing? This is the New York Times. And finally, this was the week that their editor had to step down. So goodbye, James Bennett. We accept your resignation. Don't let the door hit your newspaper on the way out. But I mean, you let somebody publish an article about the military coming in and basically taking over American cities. Like, this is what? Like, what planet are you from? What constitution did you grow up reading?
Yeah. And for the record, I support a diversity of opinions. I read a lot of things that I may not necessarily agree with, but I want to read that point and understand where they're coming from. That's how you develop an informed opinion on things. The Times thing, the Tom Cotton editorial, was they didn't read it in advance. They had suggested the topic to him, and then they wrote the headline internally that said, send in the troops. So the Times is complicit, the Times is bent over backwards to try and for whataboutism, to show, and because they're so sensitive to the criticism of being left-leaning that they want to make sure they're being fair and cutting colleges down the middle. You can't. Life doesn't work down the middle. So at some point, you have to stand up and say, this is just wrong, and this party is wrong, and the behavior is wrong. To publish a proto-fascist editorial demanding troops get sent in to crush the dissent in the streets, he's not talking about the looters and the rioters. He's talking about peaceful protesters, ultimately. That's who they really want to silence. They want to silence any kind of protest against the current power structure. And for the Times to publish that under their purview of wanting to show a diversity of opinion is completely disingenuous.
Well, it is disingenuous, and it brings the conversation backwards. I agree with you. I know, I understand that they want to fight the argument that they're left leaning, and so they want to have a diversity of opinion. And I also like diversity of opinion. However, we go back to ethics. You need to know who you are, and you need to be that person inside and outside, and that goes for brands. And this is the time saying that there's something inside, but showing completely the opposite outside, and they need to get realigned.
I like to call something else out, because every time something like this happens, it actually works into Trump's narrative about the fake news. Yes. and the big media narrative, because quite frankly, them trying to ride the fence actually makes them a bad agent for the truth. They should just stick to printing the truth. And if Tom wanted to say we should do this, there should have been a rebuttal parted right next to it saying, this is why we can't do this, Tom, because the Constitution tells you that you can't do this. Unless you're going to rewrite the Constitution, then maybe this isn't an opinion you should be sharing right now, but it's okay to have that discussion. But to just print it right out and say, this is something we should look at, so it can get pulled like a Twitter feed and shared with everybody else in the middle of this boogaloo like uprising that's going on right now. It's like you're feeding the fire with gasoline when you put irresponsible stuff out there. And I just jump in really quickly. The BBC is absolutely guilty of the same exact thing, because they think it's okay. Oh, well, if you have an opinion about that Brexit is good, then we need to have an opinion. We have to have an equal opinion to say Brexit is bad. So that's how it started. But now it's gotten down to every little thing, and they need to bring up a counterpoint for everything. So, I mean, I'm sorry that's a rant, but it's going on everywhere. And so it makes it hard for the average consumer to open up a newspaper or open up any article and trust and read what's going on right now.
Right. And the flip side is we have a really bifurcated media system in this country, and that we have sort of the centrist, left-leaning media, if you want to put the Times in there, the Post, the Axios and those things, although I tend to think Axios leans much more centrist than anything else. But we also have a far-right media machine that is enormous and very powerful. They set the tone and dictate to the Republican Party and the GOP in Congress and what the policy priorities are. It's disgusting, and yet people soak that stuff up. They don't want to hear a diverse opinion on that. They want to take their conspiracy theories and find a way to blame the left as a monolith, as the root of all evil in this country. And there's a healthy percentage of this country that believes it word for word, doesn't question anything they get from that side. And it's dangerous because they're badly misinformed, and they're so convinced that it's right that they will not brook any argument against it.
Fox wasn't right-leaning enough for Trump anymore. So he's going to start now looking at a website and citing their articles. And in this website, they put up this ridiculous thing that our 75-year-old man was holding a phone that was somehow blocking all the communications of all the police departments in the area with his phone, and you can see him lifting his phone up as he's doing it, and that's
what's
going
on. Fall.
Oh my God.
And people believe it. That's the problem.
And the president of the United States retweeted a website with a conspiracy theory that was thought up by a three-year-old. And people are saying
it's a conspiracy thought up by Russian intelligence. It is deliberate misinformation in this country to divide us further.
And this is why Sputnik and RT and Al Jazeera and some of the other organizations out there are being banned, because they're propaganda agents. That China has so many of these sites. Russia has so many of these sites. They like to float these articles that go right in between the layers. So if you're a reasonable person, oh, I'd like to see the different opinion here. Oh, I'd like to see what this woman thinks about it. And so what they're trying to do is they want you to bite on this tiny piece here and say, oh, well, then if I can accept this much doubt, then I can now read the rest of the article with a fair mind, a fair and balanced mind. It's propaganda. You're being lied to. And if you're somebody who was running a company right now and you're reading this stuff and saying that this is fair and balanced, or you think that this is what the medium is, you're wrong. Your moral compass needs to be someplace. Your ethics needs to be someplace. And that's the filter that you should be using, right?
Sure. We're still 50-something years, or almost 60 years later, debating whether or not the Kennedy assassination was staged by the CIA. You know, there's still conspiracy theories around that. The QAnon conspiracy theory, which QAnon might be the dumbest of all the conspiracy theories, but yet it's pervasive and people believe it. And there are photos of soldiers, elite soldiers, protecting the president and the high echelon of our country, of our government, with QAnon symbols on their uniforms, because they actually believe in this complete nonsense.
And I'm going to jump in there really quickly, because right now this week, the Marine Corps said you cannot have Confederate flags on your private vehicle. You can't have them displayed. You can't drink out of a Confederate flag mug. Kudos to them. No, you shouldn't be able to wear a Punisher logo on your police uniform. If that's not an officially designated, sanctioned patch, it does not belong on your uniform. You are governed by the laws of the United States of America, not a cartoon character who is a vigilante who completely, his whole existence is against the law. And so here you wear this on because you think it makes you look tough. But if you really pay attention to what the Punisher logo says, it says, I'm an anarchist. It means I'm a vigilante anarchist. So that's what you're saying when you say that, you know? So there's a reason that we need to drill down on these things and fight it and say enough is enough. This tolerance that we had to have the other opinion out here was really propaganda that was designed to muddy the waters about what is right and what is wrong. At the end of the day, the Confederate flag doesn't belong on any military base anywhere in the United States, in the world. All right, let's jump forward into the Philadelphia Inquirer, which was the other one that was, once again, a huge institution of print. What's right, what's wrong? You look at the newspaper, you open it up on Sunday, and like, oh my God, thank God, some clarity in this world. Buildings matter. What?
Yeah, buildings matter too. Again, tone deaf. Just read the moment. Look at what's happening at a real world eye level point of view, and recognize nobody's in favor of property destruction for the sake of doing so. We all get that, but there's a larger message being shared here. And instead of focusing on, oh my God, they spray painted something on a building and it'll come off, look at what the message is that they're trying to tell you, that the system is inherently broken, that the system is inherently maladjusted and tilted away from a huge part of our population, and that has to be changed immediately. And the buildings can be repaired. You can replace a window. That's not a big deal.
Exactly.
And for the Philadelphia Inquirer in particular, in my opinion, I mean, to do that, I mean, it'd be like if the Boston Globe did it. It's just your city has been battling these issues since, I don't know, the Civil War.
Well,
and you're gonna say this? What do you think is gonna happen?
Any city that was a port in the 1700s and 1800s has a big bill to pay for apologizing for the trade that they plied in human lives, period.
Just because you're above the Mason-Dixon line doesn't mean that you weren't part of the problem and that you aren't part of the problem.
Imagine if the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1774 or something had published something like, can you believe that the rebels cracked the Liberty Bell? Like, you're missing the whole point.
Now, how does this have to do with business? It has everything to do with the business. We just went through an entire list of hundreds of millions of dollars in value that just got flushed down the toilet in the last 7 days because people are stupid. You expect the editor of a newspaper to know better. especially when there's supposed to be checks and balances. So they get the editor to fall down on his sword, but the truth of the matter is it shows that there's a whole problem in the whole structure of what's going on here.
And a detachment from what's going on. And, you know, you kind of get the ivory tower syndrome of being at a remove after a while, especially at a paper like the Times, where, you know, it's the sort of the pinnacle of journalism to be working at the Times. And then you get there and you get caught up in the life. You're surrounded by people just like you, and you're going to lunches and you're out investigating stories, but you live in a different bubble than the average citizen, and you lose sight of what's really happening in the world around you. The Times has become a very petty place of rarefied air, and they just got punctured.
So let's move on to a positive thing. And I want to talk about something where, you know, you can own a business and do something amazing with it and make a statement and still make money and feel like you have some ethics. And we're going to talk about ice cream, and we're going to talk about Ben and Jerry's.
I would say that they had the strongest message of all the businesses. And I go back to what I said before. You need to be this way as a person. It's also important for your brand. Be who you are on the inside, on the outside. Ben and Jerry's has always been like this. You know, have they made little mistakes here and there? Of course they have. They're humans.
Yeah.
You know, but they've always had a strong stance on social justice. And it was wonderful to see in, you know, a week where we had statement after statement, like from, you know, Mr. CrossFit, that was just disheartening. And to see Ben and Jerry's actually say something and then back it up.
Right. And take the flack, yep. Walk right up there and do it. Not on a private Zoom call with a bunch of people and not hiding behind Twitter, physically putting their money.
Dismantle white supremacy.
Yeah, right. To physically just to go out and do that and make a statement. And I think that's the truth, is that the light is shining right now. And if you need to go look inside your company, and when you're vetting for a CEO, or if you're vetting for some leader of your corporation, maybe you should ask them ethically where they are and where they stand on these things. And maybe you start to understand that other normal human beings need to feel good about paying for your service. And they're not exactly like you. They could have different colors. They can from different countries. They could have different educations.
Yeah. And again, it's that institutional arrogance of I made it. I developed this thing out of my garage and turned it into a multi-billion dollar business. And I, you know, so clearly I'm a genius across the board, and whatever I say goes. And there's no, you still have to pay attention to the world around you. And for me, you know, one of the sort of my guiding philosophies in life is to keep what they call in yoga, beginner's mind, that no matter how much you may know, there's always more to learn. So come into it as though you know nothing. And it's a lot easier to learn things as you go along that way. And no matter how successful you may be in one aspect of your life or in multiple aspects of your life, you can still benefit yourself and the world by maintaining that beginner's mind and sense of there's still more I can learn, especially in what's happening across the country right now. And we're seeing, you know, people keep making comparisons to 1968. And maybe in a way that's a very good thing, because we need to have the next level of the civil rights movement happening in this country once and for all to break down systemic racism, institutional racism, the systemic injustices, and change the country for the better. And it's going to take not only the people protesting the streets, it's going to take all of us to make that effort to make that actually happen. So maybe this is a time to learn and sit back and listen to what's being said, read some books. There's certainly enough lists out there of books you can read to educate yourself and re-educate yourself. Listen to what's being said, listen to speeches, just shut up and absorb what's happening around you for a little bit. And perhaps your mind will shift into a more open, enlightened place.
We need to all be listening to people who don't look like that, like us. Don't. I just want to jump on and add to what you said. It's absolutely important that now is the time to listen. But pay attention to who you're listening to. Don't continue. If you're white like I am, don't continue to listen to other white women's perspective on what's happening right now. Go find black women. Go listen to black women. Don't listen,
listen to Latin people. Yeah. Listen to a lot. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of voices out there that you're not hearing right now because they're not even as big as that community.
So go find them and lift them up. Now's the time to make them bigger.
And guess what? You might open up your perspective. I think that's a beautiful thing about traveling around the world, is to get to see the different cultures and understand that there's not one way of doing everything. And we got very lazy and we got very homogenized and we got very statistic about how we became Americans, and we weren't innovating anymore. And this disruption is absolutely letting you know that we can do a better job. I want to jump quickly in, because this is the opening up week for a lot of businesses. I want to jump into something very quickly that got said by the WHO, where they said asymptomatic transmission is rare. And suddenly I'm like, first of all, oh my God, the WHO. I don't even know. How do they even a business? I mean, how do they even exist right now? They've screwed this up from the very beginning all the way done. They definitely kowtow to China because it definitely, a big part of their budget gets paid for by China, which people are saying that China controls you because you don't put the message out against them and that gives them control, but gets you funded. And then you have a woman out here who basically tells everybody, you don't have to wear masks. Don't worry about it. If you're asymptomatic,
no transmission one's... is rare. And she doesn't make it clear that there's a difference between pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic. Right. For the average person, hearing asymptomatic, like, you just, so much confusion. She just puts so much confusion on
the average person couldn't spell asymptomatic, let alone understand what it means.
Impossible to detect whether you're pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic. Impossible. So here's an educated person who is a complete and total idiot, who is working for the WHO, who should have never been allowed to open her mouth on camera or say anything.
We're at the beginning of a very significant shift in this country, for sure. And then coming back to something you said a minute ago about the, about appropriate communications, we're all in the communications business, and we're both leaders of businesses in our own small worlds and understand kind of the basic needs to communicate properly to your employees, to your customers, to the world at large. The old days, the CEO would kind of skirt around social issues and give it some lip service and have a well-crafted statement from the PR department that was ultimately meaningless and no real change was ever implemented in the hierarchy there. Now, it's going to have to happen. They're going to have to make drastic changes to the way they operate, to the way they communicate, to the way they communicate with employees internally as well as externally. This is the very early stages of the next great shift in our economy, and hopefully that includes a fair system of capitalism that doesn't lead to 1,200 to 1 ratios of CEO compensation to average worker pay.
Yes.
I'm going to end this show with a statement that conservatives like to share with me all the time, which is, it's the economy, stupid. And what I'd like to remind you is, it is the economy, stupid. And racism is part of what's wrong with the economy right now. Inequity is what's wrong with the economy right now. Housing is what's wrong with the economy right now. It is the economy, stupid. Let's get to the point. Let's fix the things that need to get fixed. Let's get back to business. Let's open our stores. Let's make sure that educational reform happens. So people that walk in and don't understand that how you transmit a cough and becomes a disease. How did you go to school? What the hell happened?
So on the same point of that, going to school and understand the fundamental nature of this country, because the people there, I'm not wearing a mask and I live in a free country and you can't, and it comes a lot, again, people that consume a lot of right-wing media tend to adopt this and they're just regurgitating what they hear. A free country doesn't mean you have the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want to. It doesn't mean freedom doesn't mean you're devoid of personal responsibility. And for the conservative side of things, traditional conservatism, the fundamental pillar was individual responsibility. And they've lost that.
You're right. That's the funny thing. Because in the midst of this, they want to walk around like unhampered children. When the truth of the matter was, what they always said from the very beginning was, act accountably, be responsible. We don't need a government because we're doing things correctly. And the irony right now is the people that used to say that are the ones that are misbehaving the most right now. David, I love you. Aaron, you freaking rock for being on the show. Business Beat said some really amazing things last week. And if Mr. Glassman from CrossFit had paid attention to last week's episode, he'd still have a company right now, and he doesn't. I hope that we shared important information today. We'll see what we figure out to talk about for next week. Thank you so much to WICN and Aaron for putting this together to give a reasonable person a place to have a conversation and listen to reasonable people talk about things. You know, it's a crazy place right now, and this is hopefully a little bit of island of fairness, right?
I think it is. Thanks for calling me a reasonable person. That's a compliment. I saw that, Eric.
All right. Thanks for watching Business Beat and listening to Business Beat, everybody, and we'll see you all again next week.
Thank you.